Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, and it's going to be a glorious week for everybody hearing this call today.
Hallelujah.
You need to expect supernatural manifestation, divine revelation, tapping into previously unknown opportunities and potential, and just supernatural connections. It's happening. Hallelujah. Today's teaching, success or just getting by. Would you like to be known as a successful person or one who just gets by? Would you like to meet and socialize with important people? And by the way, there's a difference between important and successful people. Does this idea of meeting with them and socializing with them seem impossible to you? It's not. According to the Word of God, specifically found in Proverbs 22:29.
Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men.
The key to meeting, working, and socializing with important people is to be diligent in business. It's important to understand that being diligent in business does not necessarily mean that, well, that you have to own the business. The word diligent, according to Strong's Concordance, is the Hebrew word H4106, and it means quick, prompt, skilled, ready.
Ready is a good word.
Yep.
The Message Bible translation of Proverbs 22, verse 9, says it this way. Observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone.
Hallelujah. Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, once said, if you love your work, you'll be out there every day trying to do it the best you possibly can. And pretty soon, everybody around you will catch the passion from you like a fever. Now, honey, I can hear somebody almost saying, yes, but Brother Harold, that's hard because you don't know the kind of people I work for. Well, that may be true, but God does.
Ephesians 6, verse 7 says, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men.
God anticipated, he anticipated that you run into this problem, and he gave you an answer to it. Getting a fresh revelation of Ephesians 6, 7 will change a person's attitude and their work ethic.
And I'm telling you, I know that by experience.
I know you do. Tried by fire, baby.
That's it.
When you understand the principle of performing your assigned responsibilities as unto the Lord and not to men, you immediately add an extra dimension of powerful success and advancement to whatever vocation you're involved in. This mindset will immediately increase the value you place on the things that you do for your employer. At the same time, your position of employment will take on a much higher level of value. There's a powerful principle of increase behind the mindset of being the Lord's employee. If you're doing your job as unto the Lord, there will be a more valuable standard of excellence that will guide your effectiveness as well as your enthusiasm for the job. Several years back, maybe 10 now, I'm not sure how long ago, it was popular to wear an arm band bracelet, if you will, silicone bracelet. It simply said WWJD, which means what would Jesus do? See, that's the same question we must answer every day on our job. What would you do differently on your job if you knew Jesus would be evaluating your performance?
And you know, honey, that bracelet that everybody wore may have been trending and has gone out in popular culture. But you know, that same question never goes out in God's culture. It's always, what would Jesus do?
That's exactly right. And see, the scripture is clear. We should do everything as unto the Lord. How do we increase our effectiveness so we can be classified as diligent?
Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And it's a motivational thing. When you know that God is directing you and has his eye on you, believe me, doing your work takes on a whole new enjoyment.
Paul wrote to young Timothy. He said, give attendance to reading. That's in 1 Timothy 4:13. 1 Timothy 14. And then he said in 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, show to study thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Hosea proclaimed, my people are destroyed, bound for a lack of knowledge. So Hosea 4:6. It's interesting that Hosea did not say that Satan would destroy you. He says that ignorance will destroy you. Satan, well, he enjoys helping people stay ignorant.
Think on that.
Yeah. In fact, you might want to write this down. Today is the last day I'll ever be ignorant about anything. Let me say that again. Today is the last day I'll ever be ignorant about anything. The right information will not only promote you, it will motivate you.
Yes.
And give you confidence.
Proverbs 11, verse 9. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered.
Hallelujah. The difference between success and just getting by is usually due to three forces. Number one, information. The successful person knows something that others have not yet discovered or maybe even cared to pursue. They find time to enjoy good books, video, audio teachings that will prepare and provoke them to stretch beyond their previous level of achievement. This works for successful people, and it will most surely work for you. So here's a question. With a new passion for acquiring knowledge, what books and teachings, audio, video teachings, should be on your priority list? I can tell you, you have at your fingertips, your mouse, an entire financial wisdom library at HaroldHerring.com. There are over 3,000 videos of varying lengths, and there's over 1,000 teachings, you know, some short, some not. But it's at your fingertips. It's available to you. Hallelujah. There's no reason not to gain information, regardless of where you live, particularly in this time. Number two, motivation. You must start clearly defining projects and goals that lie before you. See to it that you work with enthusiasm in whatever you're doing. Here are two powerful thoughts to help you understand more clearly what enthusiasm really means. Now, I've shared this before. In fact, I think we shared it last week or week before. But it bears repeating until we grab a hold of it and it becomes engrafted in us. First, we should always know the last four letters of the word enthusiasm or IESM, which stands for?
I am sold myself.
We must commit to believing what we do, that God will help us, that it is not grievous to us, should be grievous to us to commit it to him.
That's it. That's what the commandment says in 1 John 5:4, I believe it is, that we do his commandments and his commandments are not grievous. He will give us the desire to do what he wants us to do.
Hallelujah.
We ask him.
Second, the word enthusiasm literally means God within.
Think on that.
When we can allow the greater one within us to stir our desire for excellence, we'll have all the motivation that we need. What's your motivation? What are your projects and goals? Be specific, write them down. Zig Ziglar, the author, Southern Baptist layman, once said, every job is a self-portrait of the person who did it.
And if you think about that, that changes your whole attitude.
It does. And number three, associations. A successful person knows how to build a bridge instead of a barrier. We're influenced by who we associate with. We teach that so much. But sometimes I think we need to teach it even more than we do.
Be reminded.
Yep. We do. We need to spend our time with those who encourage, edify, lift us up, build us up, speak the pure, the powerful, and positive in our lives. We need to be with those kind of people if we want to be all that God created us to be.
In Genesis 39:5, the scripture says, the Egyptian, meaning Potiphar, was blessed because Joseph was in his house. And in Genesis 30, verse 27, Laban said to Jacob, I have learned by experience that God blessed me for your sake.
We need to spend our time with people who can challenge us to even greater levels of accomplishment. We recommend, and have on other occasions, that you create a list of people with whom you'd like to associate and why. If you're called to a position where you must be the Joseph or the Jacob on your job, then rely on God. Rely on Him to make you the example, just as Joseph and Jacob were to Potiphar and Laban. The Holy Spirit will bring you out with a high hand.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right, baby. Now create a list of people who you'd like to be associated with. People who can help you get where God wants you to be on your job. Samuel Johnson, an English writer, once said, what we hope ever to do with ease, we must first learn to do with diligence.
That's good.
Being diligent, critical. Now, I want to give you several other scriptural reasons why diligence will lead you to personal growth and success. First, a diligent work ethic is essential. Being lazy doesn't cut it.
Proverbs 10, verse 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And the New Living Translation, Proverbs 10, verse 4, says it this way, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich.
Being diligent will also bring you freedom, financial and otherwise.
The Message Bible translation of Proverbs 12, verse 24, seems to put another dimension for this scripture. It says, the diligent find freedom in their work. The lazy are oppressed by work.
Second, a diligent person will plan their work and work their plan.
Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. And that same scripture in the New Living Translation is a little easier to understand. It says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty.
Wow. So if you're diligent in your business, whether you're working for yourself or others, the words of Proverbs 27:23 will take on extra meaning.
Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds.
Scriptures are clear. If you're diligent, the first important and successful person you meet, well, it'll be the one you look at in the mirror. Think about that. President Abraham Lincoln once said, the leading rule for a lawyer, as for the man of every other calling, is diligence. Leave nothing for tomorrow, which can be done today.
Being diligent with excellence.
That's a great quote to end this Monday with. And we believe in, as I said at the outset, you're about to have the greatest week of your life.
Amen.
Be diligent. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com up at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed have you put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.